Buying or selling your home? Real Estate for Life can connect you with a pro-life real estate agent. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 65% to Catholic Answers. Learn more at realestateforlife.org. Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kelly, your host. Our guest, Andrew Petiprin, this hour. And as promised, first hour, we're going to talk about his brand new book, a wonderful book from Catholic Answers Press called The Faith Unboxed, Freeing the Catholic Church from the Containers People Put It In. Is Andrew Petiprin saying that the Catholic Church needs to be liberated? Well, not the church itself. He's saying that we put the church in boxes. We have certain ways of thinking about the church, what it is, whose it is, who it's for, all of those kinds of questions. And we often put limits that God doesn't put on the church. And it's his. It belongs to him. I'll give you a little preview of what we're going to talk about. It belongs to him. So he gets to tell us who it's for. Andrew Petiprin, I'm reading from about the author, Andrew, in the back. So this is what they said about you. Andrew Petiprin is founder and editor of the Space Salvi Institute. He's a columnist at Catholic World Report, the host of the Ignatius Press podcast, and he's the co-author of a book we talk about a lot here on this show, Popcorn with the Pope, A Guide to the Vatican Film List. Welcome, Andrew Petiprin.
Glad to be back, Cy.
I didn't use the word former in your introduction, but I bet almost everybody uses the word former in your introduction, huh?
Former all kinds of things, I guess. What were you going to say?
Anglican priest.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, a lot of I get a lot of that. It's true. It's who I was, and it very much shapes who I am today as a Catholic. I was once a minister in another tradition.
If you'd like to talk with Andrew about The Faith Unboxed, 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. I'm actually kind of jealous of you. This is a great idea for a book. This is a really good idea for a book. That we do box up the church. We make it this kind of safe thing, maybe, or dangerous in all the wrong ways kind of thing. And so where'd the idea come from? What were you thinking?
Well, the idea came to me, Cy, as I was a few years into being Catholic. And it just occurred to me that when I was contemplating coming into full communion with the Catholic Church, I had to get over certain ideas about what the church was, so that I could understand what it really was that I was coming to belong to. You know, a lot of people said to me things like, oh, there must have been certain issues that you had to tackle before you could become Catholic. And a lot of times people would say things like, you probably had to figure out Mary, right? Or you had to figure out the Pope. And I always would say, well, yeah, kind of. But I only had to figure out those things in as much as they were part of this bigger question of what is the church, you know? And so, like, where was I already in relation to the church, having been a Protestant? So there were all these ideas and words. Words in particular. I'm a word guy, you know, so I would get hung up on certain words that I would think, like, I would really like to explore how the Catholic Church isn't bound up to just particular words. And so I just began to explore what are the ones that kind of keep coming up as I'm talking to people about what it means to be Catholic, both like talking to Protestants and also talking to my fellow Catholics, because Cy, I've found that like people's misperceptions about what the church is are just as likely to be held by Catholics as non-Catholics. You know, we settle into these grooves where we just kind of think the church is this, the church is that, or whatever. And what I wanted to do in my book is like kind of, yeah, I mean, like in a sense, like take the church out of those boxes so that we can understand how much bigger and more wonderful it actually is. So there were eight kind of basic concepts or words that I explore in the book. And, you know, we can talk through those. But those are the ones I settled on as kind of being the biggest misperceptions.
Again, 888-318-7884 is the number. Andrew Petiprin is our guest. The new book from Catholic Answers Press is called The Faith Unboxed. So maybe let's do that. Let's talk about some of those kind of limiting ideas that we have of the church. I mean, before we get to that, though, I have to say, I think there is sometimes a reason, maybe a reason that we do that, that we box up the church in a way, because it's a very demanding reality. It's it it it's all, I mean, here's an act of God in the world. And sometimes it's easier to, give it a little shape of my own creation so that I can deal with it without it demanding too much of me.
Yeah. And also so that people outside the church can kind of, you know, people like categories. And so they want to just sort of say, okay, Catholics over there, those kinds of beliefs over there, you know, and the Catholic Church resists that, because what the Catholic Church is about is a totalizing vision of reality. And so that's really what I'm trying to get at in the book. So, and that's a good entree to the first word that I explore, which is ideology.
Yeah.
You know, because a lot of people don't realize this, Cy. I know you know this, but the word Catholicism, the ism part, actually isn't in the Catechism of the Catholic Church.
I didn't know that. Thank you for giving me credit for that.
Yeah.
But I didn't know that.
Well, it's kind of cool that it isn't, because, I mean, we use the word Catholicism, and we should, right? Because it's a good way to kind of... Sometimes we need a category to put things in, right?
Right.
But the church tends to resist using that word when it talks about itself, because it doesn't want us to think of our faith as just one, even if it's the best one. But we don't want to think of our faith as an ism, right?
Right.
So I go through all these different isms in that first chapter, all the different ways that we use in the world to think about how to think about reality, whether that's conservatism, liberalism, Marxism, vegetarianism, whatever it is, right? The Catholic Church is kind of saying, yeah, we get all of that, and there is a way in which we understand that we're a thing, but in another way, we're not. The Catholic Church is kind of saying, we don't participate in being one option among many of different kind of philosophies or political solutions or whatever it may be. So I don't know, for me, when I discovered that about the word Catholicism, it just opened up a whole new way for me to think about being in the church.
It's funny, because when you say that, it makes me think about pretty much my whole life, you know, the political reporting that happens around a presidential election. It's always been like, well, Catholics are not, we're not as important as, say, evangelicals. We're not as important. I mean, even as small a group as they are numerically, Jews, like because we're like basically 50% of everything. We're anything that happens, we're 50-50 on it. We're like half of us are this way, half of us are that way. Now, that's not, of course, that's very unfortunate when it's grave moral things where there is not a 50-50. Certainly, that has happened. But for the most part, it's just like, yeah, there's just not a Catholic position on that.
Yeah, I go into that a little bit in the book. Yeah, I mean, sometimes politicians used to, anyway, in America, talk about the Catholic vote or kind of the Catholic constituency or whatever that may be. But you're absolutely right. Really, for a century now, that's shifted all over the place. And it really is kind of a 50-50 thing. So, you know, and in some respects, that touches on something I get into in the book, which is one of the best but also worst things that's ever happened to the Catholic Church in America is that we've become acceptable, that we've become mainstream.
Oh.
Because, you know, there was a time, I mean, look, nobody wants to live as outcasts. So it's a good thing that we can practice our faith freely. And, you know, a Catholic can be a perfectly respectable member of pretty much any community in America nowadays, right? But in a way, we're kind of a victim of our own success, that now people just have in their minds that Catholicism is just another denomination. Right.
Oh,
it's just one religious option among many. And hey, the Catholics are over there. That's cool. The Lutherans are over there. That's fine, too. Whatever. But the Catholic Church doesn't think of itself that way, you know, and because we've kind of gone mainstream, we on the ground tend to think of ourselves that way. And maybe, hey, we're related to people who aren't Catholics, or we're friends with people who aren't Catholics. And so it's kind of a good day-to-day strategy to just kind of think, well, hey, I'm Catholic, you're not, whatever. But we know the Catholic Church wants, and in a sense, sort of Christ wills everyone to be in the fullness of communion with the Catholic Church, not to be siloed in different denominations, right?
Yeah, very much so. The Faith Unboxed. You're kind of a radical, aren't you, Andy?
I don't think so. I think I'm a real normie, Si.
Do you?
I think this is all good normal stuff.
Well, there is a good meaning to the word radical, though, you know, about going to the root of the thing. And that does seem to me, that your mind goes to the root of things habitually.
I hope so. Yeah. I think if you open up this book and read it, I try to put enough kind of wit and charm and, you know, all that good stuff in it that it doesn't seem too out there and too weird. And, you know, maybe Si, there's just something about my Protestant background that I've brought with me, you know, dangerously, I don't know, into the Catholic Church. But I like to get to the root of things. I like to kind of really step back and say, what are we really talking about here?
Yeah.
Because for my part anyway, I've found it helpful. You know, it helps me kind of stay in the light, I guess.
888-318-7884 is the number. I love talking with Andrew Petiprin, so I don't care if you call. But if you do call, we'll get you on with him. 888-318. Did that come off? I didn't mean that in a mean way. I just don't care. I like talking with Andrew. The Faith Unboxed is the new book, Freeing the Catholic Church from the Containers People Put It In. We got to do that. It's a work that must be done. We've got to free in our own lives and our own habits and the public perceptions and all these different ways the church from these kind of silly containers that it gets put in. If you want to talk about that, 888-318-7884.
There's only one Catholic Answers Live.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite Monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
Discover the beauty, truth, and goodness of the Church. With the EWTN Online Learning Series, you can delve into the riches of the faith and grow closer to the Lord with free videos and study guides. Enroll in the EWTN Online Learning Series free courses today at learningseries.ewtn.com.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Probably going to get fired for saying I don't care if you call, but I do care if you call. I just like talking to Andrew. The Faith Unboxed is Andrew Petiprin's new book, Freeing the Catholic Church from the Containers People Put It In. I'm going to go, just to prove how much I care about the calls today, I'm going to go directly to a call, Andrew, and let Antonio in Iowa talk with you. He's listening on our app, the Catholic Answers app. Go ahead, Antonio, with your question for Andrew Petiprin.
Hey, Andrew, thanks for talking. So I'm Protestant, so I'm not Catholic. And a lot of talk in Protestant circles are like, oh, Catholicism is a cult. So that's like a very common kind of accusation that's thrown out there. Personally, I don't think I would go to the extreme. But something that does kind of make me sometimes like not really fully believe, but kind of get where like my fellow like friends are saying, is my brother's Catholic. And I asked him, like, okay, would you say, like, Mary is, like, co-mediatrix? Like, would you go that far in Mary adoration? And he's like, no. But I said, okay, what if the Pope made it a dogma tomorrow? And he said, yes. And I'm like, okay, so you don't believe it today, but you believe it tomorrow. So I guess how is it not a cult when, like, the Pope can make it so you don't believe something today, but then tomorrow you believe it?
Well, that's a great question, Antonio. And, you know, for me, that touches on the idea of the development of doctrine, which, and I write about the kind of, you know, generator of the term development of doctrine, John Henry Newman, quite a bit in this book, The Faith Unboxed. Now, I think Newman would say, when he talks about the development of doctrine, that Catholics definitely don't start believing something new tomorrow just because, you know, suddenly something is like articulated as dogma. The things that are articulated as dogma are things that the church believes have always been true. And in fact, there's almost always evidence that those are things that have been held to be true up to that point. So, you know, I think that's probably like a little bit of a straw man, maybe that you're setting up there to imagine kind of the way Catholics think about accepting dogma as it's articulated by the Pope. But maybe to come back to what you said at the beginning about, like, is Catholicism a cult? I don't talk in the book about whether Catholicism is a cult, but one of the things I do get into is I have a whole chapter on why the Catholic Church or the Catholic faith isn't just a religion. And that's, I think, a really important thing that we need to understand about the Catholic Church, in distinction from, say, like the pagan religions that a lot of people would have been practicing when they embraced Christianity in the early days, right? Those were cults. Those were civic religions that where people sacrificed certain things, they paid certain amounts of money, and basically what they wanted was the gods to leave them alone when they did those things, right? The Christian God isn't like that. The Christian God is the God of both philosophy and ritual. And that's the thing that the Jewish religion embodied, and that's what the Christian faith and the Catholic Church carry forward as well. That, like, what we're interested in is pursuing truth to its end and then worshiping in spirit and in truth in light of that truth, right? So, you know, I would say, like, Catholicism, even though, you know, that isn't an official word of the Catholic Church, but the Catholic Church is basically saying, like, we're obviously not a cult in any way, shape, or form. And if you want to see a contrast, go look at the ancient religions and kind of the pagan, you know, the pagan rituals and the pagan gods.
What do you think, Antonio?
Yeah, I guess that makes sense. The comparison, yeah, to like older stuff, it's definitely a lot more, I guess, extreme. But it is, yeah, I guess, how do you get around then, like, and asking, like, a lot of people will say, the Pope being, like, kind of the leader at the top, and I know he's just, like, the representative of Christ, but I feel like that's a big thing that comes up when people accuse it of being a cult. They say there's one dude who's leading it around. Like, I guess,
yeah.
How do you kind of, like, how do I tell that to people in a way?
Yeah, I mean, there's a chapter in my book about the idea that the Catholic Church is maybe considered by some to be a dictatorship, right? Because we have a leader at the top and what he says goes. But again, you know, what we have in the Pope is a living authority. He is the person who is, you know, given the authority by Christ to be the guardian of the faith, the teacher of the faith. And so, you know, you're not talking there about somebody who is looking to sort of apply arbitrary rules to people's lives. And in fact, you know, I like to think about certain saints who have actually lived under real human dictatorships and contrast that with what it's like to live your life in the Catholic Church. A great example of this is Franz Jägerstätter, who was an Austrian man who's on his way to sainthood. There's a great movie made about him called A Hidden Life, directed by Terrence Malick. And, you know, he defied the Nazis. He wouldn't go along with basically worshiping Hitler instead of the triune God. And, you know, what he experienced in that choice was freedom. And what we experience as Catholics actually is freedom. You know, it's like when we submit ourselves to a certain boundary within which we want to live our lives, whether that's like the boundary of our marriage vows or the boundary of ordination vows or the boundary of choosing to be members of the Catholic Church. Well, there's actually like a lot of freedom in that, because you know your limits, but then you know sort of how to explore the space. And I get into that quite a bit in the book.
Antonio, I'd like you to have the book. As a matter of fact, if you'd like it, we'll be happy to send it to you. It's called The Faith Unbox, Freeing the Catholic Church from the Containers People Put It In. All you got to do is give us an address. Just hang on the line, and then Edgar will get on, and you give him an address, and we will send the book out to you today or tomorrow. So you'll have it pretty quick right there in Iowa. Our guest is Andrew Petiprin. He's the author of this new book, The Faith Unboxed. And you are welcome to call with your questions, 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. If I could go back to something you were talking with Antonio about. So am I wrong then to call the Catholic Church or the Catholic faith a religion?
No, but we're not just a religion. And that's one of the things that, you know, each of these words that I explore, now some of them are just dead wrong, like a dictatorship. I don't think that's at all a good way to think about what it means to be Catholic. We are a religion, but in some respects, I talk about in the book, it's actually better to start with thinking of the Catholic faith as philosophy and then religion. And, you know, I get into the book a little bit about Plato and Aristotle. And, you know, one of the problems that Plato ran into was, you know, he was condemned to death. Now, famously, we know he was condemned to death for corrupting the youth. But specifically, how was he corrupting the youth? By introducing them to new things of the spirit, to new religious things, essentially. That Plato for all of his faults.
Socrates, I think.
Socrates, right. It's in Plato. Yeah. My goodness. Yeah. We're talking about Plato, but of course, when we talk about Plato, we're always talking about Socrates. Anyway, Socrates corrupted the youth, but his corruption was that ultimately there was a real God behind all of the pagan gods, right? And so, you know, that right there sets up this sort of contrast between religion and philosophy. The Catholic Church, as the inheritors of the faith of our spiritual forebears, ancient Israel, we get all of that together. We get a philosophical religion, a religion of truth, right? But then also a religion of ritual, a religion of sacrifice, a religion of worship, all these things, but it's in spirit and in truth. So I don't know, maybe that's a subtle distinction to some people.
But is it important in this way that some people think of religion almost like they think of like a folk culture, like, oh yeah, that's your religion. But you're saying it can't be dismissed as that because it is profoundly concerned with the absolute truth. It's dogged in its commitment to absolute truth. So it's not just like, oh, it's another religion that you practice.
That's right. And the God that we worship became like us in Jesus Christ, but is not like us in the sense that he is not competitive, he is not capricious, you know, and the ancient pagan gods were. They were competitive, they were capricious, they were mean, they were weird. You basically wanted to make your sacrifices and keep them away from you. In the book, I talk about how in 2023, there was an ad for Apple computers with Tim Cook, who's the CEO of Apple, and all the Apple people, and they had professional actors. And it was this skit that they did where Mother Nature appears. And Mother Nature is played by Octavia Spencer, the Academy Award-winning actress. And she's, you know, she acts wonderfully in this skit. But, I mean, it really shows how ridiculous it is, you know, to think of Catholicism as just a religion, right? Because Mother Nature appears and she's mad about everything. Nothing's good enough for her. You know, you can't ever please her. And all you want to do is kind of appease her and make her go away. And the God that we worship in Jesus Christ is the God of love, is the God who comes near to us to save us, who is able to do that because he isn't mean and capricious and, you know, backbiting and all those kinds of things like this Mother Nature goddess is in this Apple ad, right? So we're seeing kind of in people's minds this idea of, you know, maybe religion kind of reemerging in their minds. But what we want to do is step up as Catholics and say, there's a big difference between what we believe as Catholics and the God that we worship in the church compared to these very small ideas of religion that once proliferated, you know, in the ancient world and seem to be kind of coming back now.
Andrew Petiprin's our guest. That's just one of the boxes, the religion box. He mentioned the dictator box. Maybe we'll talk about, as we go along, as much time as we have, we'll talk about the various boxes that people put the church into. And she always exceeds them because she's a work of the living God. If you have questions about that, if you want to challenge that, you're welcome to call 888-318-7884. Michael's in Denver, Colorado, watching on YouTube. Michael, go ahead with your question for Andrew.
Yeah, Cy, thank you so much for taking my call. And Andrew, thank you so much for having this really important conversation. I know it holds immense significance, definitely. So thank you. And yeah, I just had a quick question. So, you know, talking about like Christianity and Catholicism, the differences, I actually had somebody ask me the other day, like, Michael, in your opinion, what are the main differences between Christianity and Catholicism? And you know, it was an interesting question because I was like, well, from my understanding, it's that, you know, as Catholics, Catholics put very high prominence on the Mother Mary and that they believe in the Holy Trinity, right? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But, you know, it's interesting when you think about that concept of how other, you know, denominations, religious denominations view the differences between Catholicism and other religions. And I was just thinking about that as far as like being a common misconceptions or people something can misunderstand, you know, how similar Catholicism is to other religions and the differences. And I was wondering if you would maybe expand just a little bit on that.
Andrew, you're probably going to have to do it on both sides of the break, just so you know, just a minute away from the break. But go ahead.
Okay, well, let me start and just point out a couple quick things. I think maybe what you mean is kind of more like the difference between what Protestants think about God and the church and what Catholics think, maybe rather than Christians and Catholics, since, you know, Christians are Catholics, or I mean, Catholics are Christians. And the important thing to note is that, you know, anyone who calls himself a Christian believes in God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And in fact, anyone who's baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is connected to the Catholic Church in a real way. And that's one of the things I get into in the book, is that the reason that the Catholic Church doesn't talk about denominations is that we use the word communion instead. So if you're in full communion with the Catholic Church, you're able to receive the Catholic sacraments, you go to confession, you're able to approach the altar and receive the Holy Eucharist, all those kinds of things, you're in full communion. But if you're baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and you're not Roman Catholic, you're not a Catholic, you're not in communion with the Pope and with his bishops, you still have a connection to the beating heart of faith. You really are not nothing. You are a Christian. And what the Catholic Church is doing is, in a sense, like calling you closer to that ever, ever closer into communion. So, you know, that's a start, I guess. But there's a lot more to say, especially about the whole question of denominations.
I'll tell you what, Michael, if you'll hang on, we'll come back to you when we come back. I also want to make sure we get you a copy of Andrew Petiprin's new book, The Faith Unboxed, Freeing the Catholic Church from the Containers People Put It In. I would also like to ask you, when we come back, about how this will change our behavior as Catholics, how we'll be different as Catholics if we let the church out of these boxes we've put it in. Andrew Petiprin, our guest, right back with more.
Deepen your connection to the Church's holy days and seasons while you draw on the wisdom of the Church Fathers. Feasts of Our Fathers, the new book from Mike Aquilina and Adam Lucas, is a treasury of history, prayers, insights, and lessons that will bring you closer to the earliest of Catholic traditions. Take your prayer life and your solidarity with the Church, past and present, to a new level. Order your copy of Feasts of Our Fathers today at shop.catholic.com.
We hope that one of the things that we communicate here at Catholic Answers Live is that our Catholic faith allows us to be fully serious about all the problems we encounter in the church and in the world, but it also lets us have light hearts and maybe even mix in a bit of fun. And that is exactly what our good friend Joe Heschmeyer does in his popular podcast, Shameless Popery. You should check it out at shamelessjoe.com. Joe's got a deep grasp of the faith, of morals, the teachings of the church, all that. But he's also got a witty conversational style. He entertains and he informs. But you will leave equipped to better answer the most common challenges, misconceptions, and questions about the Catholic faith. He's got insightful guests. He does on-air debates. And he takes a close look into all the things that you want to know about as a Catholic living today. You'll walk away knowledgeable and filled with joy. Look for Joe on his YouTube channel. Check him out at shamelessjoe.com or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you like what you hear, become a patron.
Our Lord needs articulate defenders of the truth to spread the joy of the Catholic faith. Catholic Answers Monthly Giving Club, Society 315, helps you fulfill the call in 1 Peter 3:15 to always be prepared to make a defense for the hope that is in you. For as little as $10 a month, you'll help Catholics grow in faith, bring lapsed Catholics home, and lead non-Catholics to the truth. Go to CASociety315.com and join today.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Happy St. Patrick's Day to you, or St. Patrick's Day, as the more formal people like to say. I hope you're enjoying your soda bread and your Kerrygold butter and your Guinness stout. And I don't know, what else goes on St. Patrick's? Your rosary, maybe? Maybe, you know, I don't know, throw a little Catholic something in there for the saint. If you want to talk with us here, 888-318-7884. We're talking about The Faith Unboxed. It's the new book from Andrew Petiprin, Freeing the Catholic Church from the Containers People Put It In. So we left Michael in Denver, and Michael didn't stay on the line. So I don't know if you wanted to continue with your answer. He's basically asking about how to convince someone that Catholicism is not just another denomination.
Yeah, I mean, there's a misperception among a lot of people, certainly among Protestants, but also among Catholics, that the church is divided, and that the great tragedy is like that the church is divided, and like what needs to happen is, you know, maybe we can all kind of get back together. Now, we do want, as Catholics, people to get back together. But we do not believe that the church is divided. We believe that there is one church and that it is not divided. And so people who are not in full communion with the Catholic Church are not divided, but they are separated. They are not in the fullness of communion. And so the ecumenical vision of the Catholic Church is not that we're going to kind of put the pieces back together, but rather that we will be restored to unity. So a great document that I reference in my book is Unitatis Redenti Gratia, which is the Vatican II document about ecumenism. And literally, Unitatis Redenti Gratia means the restoration of unity. So, I mean, the image that I like to use and that I explore a little bit in the book is that there's one house. There aren't multiple houses. There's only one. But we need to fix it all up so that we can, you know, we Catholics need to fix it up, make it somewhat more accommodating for people to want to come back into it and live in it. But people on the outside of it need to realize that there's no other place to go. Like you kind of have to get in there or you're going to be kind of left out. Now, you know, that's tricky because as Pope St. John Paul II talks about it in another great document about ecumenism called Ut Unum Sent, he says, you know, these are centuries old problems, right? And they can't just be fixed overnight. But by God's grace, I think we're seeing this, you know, an outpouring of this grace upon the world. You know, there are people who are turning more and more towards nihilism, towards atheism, just turning away from truth altogether. But I mean, I really do believe, as somebody who's come into the church from a Protestant perspective, that this whole idea of denominations and, you know, you do you, you can be that kind of Christian, I'll be this kind of Christian. I think more and more people are realizing how absurd that is, you know, that it just can't be.
Michael, I was wrong. We do have Michael with us. Michael, did you want to follow up?
Yeah, no, thank you. I accidentally hung up. But Andrew, that was such an amazing answer. And I think you're right, because, you know, talking about younger people, I actually just turned 29 this past Friday. And, you know, you see so many younger people getting away from the church. And I think it's because, you know, a lot of us have this misconception, if you will say, or attitude that it's like, well, what's in this for us? And if it's not a social gathering, you know, what opportunity or thing is it good for us to go to church? And it's like, that's really not what church is about, Catholicism is about. It's about learning the word of God. It's about applying that to your everyday life. And I think that's another misconception, because right when a young person, a teenager, Gen Z, millennial, whatever, goes to a church, they're like, oh, this is going to be this amazing experience. There's going to be like amazing theatrics and lighting. And it's not really about that. And I think that we're getting more away from that as a society. Is like, how can young people like still enjoy church, but have it be Bible based, right? And I think that's another really important kind of facet of this whole idea. But
Andrew, I'll let you pick up what Michael said. I will just say one thing to you, Michael, before I hand you back to Andrew. At least as far as Catholics are concerned, it's not just about the Word of God. It's about worshiping God in spirit and truth the way that He instructed us to worship Him. So whatever happens there, you better worship Him the way that He told you to worship Him. I think that's the primary Catholic argument. But what did you think of what Michael said?
Yeah, I appreciate, Michael, what you're saying. I would just say this. I'm all for a worship experience that is moving and satisfying. You know, for me personally, that means quite traditional liturgy, quite traditional music, you know, incense, all of that. That's all very moving to me. However, you know, there are lots of times when I don't get that, but I still get Christ's body, blood, soul, and divinity every single time I go to Catholic Mass. And that's a really important point that I had to really, you won't even believe, you know, coming from an Anglican background, how many people who said to me when I was contemplating coming into the Catholic Church, oh, you know, the liturgy is so terrible in the Catholic Church, or, you know, so many negative things about the kind of experience that I would have. And my whole take was, well, look, first of all, I don't think you're right entirely about that. But second of all, it doesn't matter, because the truth is what matters, worshiping in spirit and in truth. And you know, I have a chapter in the book about how we sometimes like to think of the church as a club, or we want it to sort of function like a club, like an affinity group. We want it to be the place where people are like us, where people like the same things that we like. But the one thing you're not going to get in the church is that. you're going to be with people who are not like you, who have different opinions and different preferences. And your preferences are fine, and you can seek them out in as much as they're available and they don't conflict with the truths of the faith. But you need to be prepared to subsume, you know, to the truth, those things that at maybe at one point in your life felt like they were non-negotiable and certainly are highly prized in the eyes of the world, right? The world says, figure things out the way you want it. You know, if it's not pleasing you, if you're not happy in your marriage, leave it. If you're not, you know, you don't enjoy this subscription, cancel it. Whatever it may be, from important things to not so important things. Unfortunately, we tend to think of our faith that way, too.
Michael, we would love to send you a copy of Andrew's book, The Faith Unboxed, Freeing the Catholic Church from the Containers People Put It In. Just hang on and Edgar will get an address and we'll send it off to you if you'd like it. I'm going to keep going because there's more folks on the line. Stephen is in Wisconsin listening to EWTN on Channel 130, Sirius XM Satellite Radio. Stephen, welcome. Go ahead with your question for Andrew Petiprin.
Well, thank you. I guess mine would be more of a follow-up on what the previous caller was asking. You know, I've run into this too, where it's the denominations, the various denominations are treated as like each one is one of Baskin-Robbins 31 flavors, you know.
Right.
And so my question to the screener was, you know, how do you disabuse somebody of this idea that you know, that's just the way it is, and you know, you do you, like you were saying. I mean, to me, the culture today is so much more about being comfortable or fitting in or these kinds of things. And one thing that is a big stumbling block for some of my own family members is, okay, so when we come to the Catholic Church, we can't receive Holy Communion, and it feels very unwelcoming to them, you know, these kinds of things.
Andrew?
Yeah, a couple points. Thank you, Stephen. I appreciate your comments. The one thing I really want to point out is the word denomination. In English, it was first used in the 17th century. It wasn't a very common word, and it was a very negative word. The first recording of it in the Oxford English Dictionary is by Sir Walter Scott, and it's meant to describe a collection of bad guys, basically, like all different types of bandits and criminals and things like that. So it starts off in English not having a very good connotation. Nowadays, let's think about the use of the word denomination. There are, to my mind, only two different ways we use the word denomination in English. The first is with regard to religion, that we talk about different groups of Christians. The second is with regard to money, with regard to how would you like that, sir? 20s, 10s, 5s, whatever it is, right? Now, we don't use cash so much anymore, so maybe we're forgetting that that was once a very popular way of using the word denomination. But in a sense, the same sense is being conveyed when we use it with religion. Like, money is money, right? It doesn't matter if you have 5 20s or 10 10s, whatever, it all cashes out the same in the end. And that's the implication by using that word denomination for religion, is that it doesn't matter. It all cashes out in the end, right? Like you said, you know, it's like, I like vanilla ice cream, you like chocolate. It's Nike versus Adidas, whatever it is, right? And that is just not the way the Catholic Church thinks about itself. It doesn't think of itself even as the biggest denomination, even as the best denomination. It just doesn't think in terms like that at all. Now, to your other point, Stephen, about, you know, some of the things that we experience as Catholics are things that just are very hard for people with the mindset of being able to exercise their preferences and to being able to exercise their freedom in certain ways. They have a lot of difficulty accepting it. Not being able to receive communion if you're not in the fullness of communion is something that's very odd to people. And I talk about that in the book a little bit. But, you know, there are people even within our ranks as Catholics who, for various reasons, identify as Catholics. You know, maybe they're divorced. Maybe they, you know, they have certain things in their personal lives that prohibit them for a time or for a longer period of time from receiving communion. And believe it or not, they're out there and they're still coming to Mass and they sit in the pews. They don't come forward and receive, but they're there because they believe the truth claims of the Catholic Church. And now they hope maybe eventually that their obstacles are going to be overcome and they'll be able to come back into the fullness of communion. But those are people to really point to your relatives maybe who don't understand what's going on and say, hey, look, it's not just about getting what we want here. it's not a justice issue here about whether you're allowed to receive communion. You get to receive communion if you belong to the family, if you're 100% in. And if you're not, then you got to wait. And that's just the way that it goes. But thank God it's like that, because then it's not me creating the religion. I'm not the Pope, right? We submit ourselves to something that's beyond us, that's bigger than us.
What do you think, Steve?
Yeah, amen. I mean, since the Reformation, I think everybody's the Pope, you know. it's a very good, well thought out answer. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Steve. I hope you would hang on a quick second, because we'd like to get an address for you, and we'll send you off a copy of Andrew Petiprin's new book, The Faith Unboxed: Freeing the Catholic Church from the Containers People Put It In. We're going to continue talking about it. So if you have questions for Andrew Petiprin, 888-318-7884. He goes through eight different boxes that people put the Catholic Church in. Catholic people do it as well as non-Catholic people. We shouldn't imply that or mistakenly communicate that Andrew is just saying, well, this is what non-Catholics think of us. No, we Catholics do the same thing, much to our detriment. And that's why I called him a radical before, because there's something in Andrew's work that I find invigorating, because it's challenging us to get outside of these boxes and really, really fully live the Catholic life. But that's what I want to ask about when we come back. I said I wanted to ask you about that. So how is this going to change us? If we get the church out of these boxes that we've put it in, how will we be different? What will we do differently? Andrew Petiprin, our guest, I'll ask him that question when we come back on Catholic Answers Live.
It's all about the truth. Catholic Answers Live.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
Hi, this is Mike Aquilino with a few words about St. Augustine. St. Augustine's achievement was monumental. He invented the genre of autobiography. He wrote classic foundational texts on morals, the theology of the Trinity, the theology of history, the interpretation of scripture, and many other subjects. He negotiated or argued several major heresies into non-existence. The Catechism cites St. Augustine more often than any other writer outside the Bible.
The Catechism defines evangelization as the proclamation of Christ and his gospel by word and the testimony of life. But what does that look like in real life? It looks like St. Paul street evangelists out in the public square sharing the good news. We're a Catholic nonprofit that starts conversations by handing out free sacramentals. Then we employ our method of listen, befriend, proclaim, and invite. Catholic Answers is supported in part by St. Paul Street Evangelization. Visit streetevangelization.com to learn more.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Hope your Lent is going well. Hope your St. Patrick's Day is going well. We're awful glad you're here with us. If you'd like to get involved in the conversation here, you're always welcome to call 888-318-7884. I made a terrible mistake. I was supposed to tell you that Andrew's book is 25% off right now at shop.catholic.com. The Faith Unboxed, it's available now, 25% off. If you want to find out what the Catholic Church isn't and contemplate what the Catholic Church is, and what it is really good. It's something really, really good. And so you want to find out all about it, just go to shop.catholic.com, use the promo code OPEN, and it saves you 25% when you buy Andrew's new book, The Faith Unboxed. 888-318-7884, the number 888-31-TRUTH. I do get the sense that you have an agenda under the things that you write, which is to get us to embrace and live the faith fully. And so when you're challenging us on, you know, the church is not just an escape. It's not just a club. I'm listing some of the boxes people put it in. It's not a dictatorship. It's not just a thing one person prefers over another thing. What is it that you're trying to get us to do? What are you trying to move us to?
Well, I share a story in the book, Cy, about a mentor of mine, a Catholic priest who had been an Anglican as well before he became Catholic, who, when I was in the throes of my crisis about whether to become Catholic, he looked at me right in the eyes and said very sternly but lovingly, "The Catholic Church can be perfectly awful, but it's the real deal. And, you know, I find as someone who's come into the Catholic Church from outside, but I believe that people who are lifelong Catholics can come to feel this way too sometimes, that, look, there you come to moments where you're like, what is this for? What am I doing? Why am, like, especially if you're in a situation maybe where you're going to Mass somewhere where you maybe you don't like the music or the liturgy, or maybe you don't like your priest all that much, or maybe the priest in confession, you're pouring your heart out and he says something really that you take as being really insensitive or whatever. I mean, there are just all these human things that can mess us up bad. And less than that, less than those things that I've just said have turned people right away from the Catholic Church entirely. You know, they have a bad experience. They get a bad taste in their mouth. And now look, that's on them and that's for God to work in their hearts. But I wanted to write this book to say, look, we all need to get over that stuff. We all need to sort of get past all the fake stuff, all of the kind of overgrowth of like human brokenness that's overlaid on top of the reality that the church is seeking to represent, and get to that reality. So that's kind of what I'm getting at. You know, I think that, you know, I believe strongly in this idea that, you know, the truth really does set you free. And when you come to understand that the church is trying to, in a sense, describe reality rather than just prescribe rules, although we have lots of rules and they're important, then it's just so much better. It's just, you just feel like it makes sense. Like there's a purpose to it all. There's a point to it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just wonderful. Thank you for that, Andrew. And I have to say, as you were saying that, and I was thinking about these various boxes you've talked about, for some reason, it put me in the mind of Avery Dulles's famous book from decades ago, Models of the Church, in which he said, these models, there are these various models of the church as this, as that, as that, and they're not wrong, but you should never think of one particular model as complete. Now, what you have given us are mostly wrong. They're mostly, that's actually not what the thing is. So I'm going back to the calls. I promise I'm going to go back to the calls, but I do want to give you an opportunity not to just say what it's not, but what is it? So this is the promise that I'm, you know, when I open the book, I want to hear all the ways that I may be carrying these misconceptions, but I also want, what is it, Andrew? What is the Catholic Church?
Well, I keep coming back to the word reality, which is to me just a key word for understanding what the Catholic faith is. In the chapter where I talk about institutions, why we shouldn't just think of the church as an institution, I get into this very question, I think, the most. The church has lots of institutions, but the church itself isn't really an institution. It's been said by people before, I didn't make this up, but I've found this very helpful, that the church isn't an institution with sacraments, it's a sacrament with institutions. So in other words, like it really helps us get to the heart of like this bigger reality, right? That the church itself, I mean, it's not described as one of the seven sacraments, but thinking of the church as sacrament is, I think, a better way to think about it than as an institution to have these.
It has defined itself as a sacrament. That is the actual definition of the church. Is the church is the sacrament for encounter with God.
Right.
But that is say it again. It's not an institution with sacraments. It's a sacrament with institutions.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if I think of it that way, what does that mean? How does that help me?
Well, then when you look out on the church and you see maybe, you know, we've got some great bishops, but maybe we've got some not so great ones. We've got just some really overwhelmed and busy ones. We've got all these people in the church running the church who have so many levers to pull on all the old institutional apparatus. Like they could do that all day, every day, and they would never have anything else to do, right? And we might look out on that and go, man, I really wish they would do something else. Like I wish that they were like really inviting me into this like deeper encounter with Christ in the fullness of reality. Well, you know, that isn't going to happen all the time. And so sometimes we need to step back and maybe nourish ourselves, I hope, by God's grace, with a book like the one that I've produced, and say, hey, look, you know, maybe I'm putting too many kind of eggs in the basket of these kind of busy churchmen trying to help me out to, you know, inspire me to be a better Catholic. You know,
yeah.
I think like there's other places to turn.
Would you agree with a basic observation that the church makes saints? She's made saints for 2,000 years. And if you want her to, she'll make you a saint.
The
no matter what a mess she might be in, you have a basic choice. Do I want her to do her job in me, or do I not want her to do her job in me?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I think that only works if you just submit yourself to her rather than sort of, I mean, look, yeah, I have a little bit of a critical view of certain aspects of the church in this book, to be sure. But ultimately, I'm trying to get us past that so that we just think, look, it's enough to belong. I don't have to have my way. I don't have to, you know, it doesn't have to align with my political views all the time. It doesn't have to sort of meet the world standards for just being one option among many, right? It doesn't have to meet any of these criteria. It just has to be true, which it is. And I just have to belong to that.
Beautiful. Zachary's in Birmingham, Alabama. Zachary, thank you for the call. Go ahead with your question for Andrew Pettiprin.
Yeah, I was calling about how a friend of mine, in response to one of my family, I was talking to him about the church history on how the Catholic Church for the first 700 years was the Catholic Church. And my friend in response said that was the only view that was accepted by the church at the time, and that it was only allowed to have a different, no one was allowed to have a different idea or they would be excommunicated. And I was just saying, like, how would I respond to that?
Well, I don't think that view is accurate, is the long and the short of it. I mean, the church, we believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church, and this church is not invisible. This church is not waiting to become, right? This church isn't out there kind of waiting for us to find it. The church is visible, and it endures through time. Until our Lord returns. And so, yeah, I mean, of course, the church always has to kind of live within the boundaries of what has been revealed to it. And there are times when certain public proclamations of views that are in variance with it, have to be dealt with by the church, to be sure. But I think it's a caricature, and it's wrongheaded to think of, you know, like the church as having been kind of we have all these different views of what the early church was. Some people say the early church was actually, you know, very, had a multiplicity of views and all kinds of different things were thought and believed before, you know, the Middle Ages came around and popes started, like, you know, slamming their fists on tables and squashing people with their slippers and all that sort of thing, right? So there are all these misperceptions. What I like to say is, look, just go and investigate for yourself. Read the fathers. You know, read some of the early documents of the church, and you'll see there's a huge interest in making sure that they're getting it right, what has been revealed to them. But I don't think that there's a lot of interest there in, you know, just being arbitrary and mean to people.
Zachary, thanks. If you'd like a copy of the book, we'll send it to you, The Faith Unboxed. Just hang on, and we will send it to you, whatever address you give us. I want to get to Jeff in Fort Worth, Texas. Jeff, I'm sorry, but you're going to have to be a little bit quick with the question to allow Andrew to get you an answer.
Yes, sir. I will be very quick.
Thank you.
I'm not a Catholic, but I do go to the Catholic service with my son when I go visit him. And her father-in-law, which is a very strong Catholic, it came to me several months ago, and it kind of blew me away with this question, this thing. He said, if you don't become a Catholic, I will have failed on my mission to try to get you to be Catholic, and I'll go to hell.
Oh.
I did not know how to respond. Yes, I know.
Wow.
Now, the man is a very strong Catholic. He goes to church every single day. But, I mean, the bottom line, I just didn't know how to respond to that.
His contention, just to be clear, is that he's going to hell if you don't become Catholic.
That's exactly what he said.
Andrew?
Well, that's not what the church teaches. I would really recommend that you read the great document from Vatican II called Lumen Gentium, which begins with an evangelistic note that the church is the light to the world, right? So obviously every Catholic certainly has an evangelistic mission. Everybody has a mission, to be sure. But, you know, no, it's not the case that if somebody ultimately isn't convinced of the truth claims of the Catholic Church, that the people closest to them who do believe those truth claims are somehow going to, you know, suffer in hell because of it. So, yeah, I mean, hey, again, go and read Lumen Gentium and see for yourself. And I hope that the Spirit moves you and stirs your heart to maybe kind of contemplate those truth claims a little more.
I'll tell you what, I'd like to give you a couple books. I want to give you Andrew's book, The Faith Unboxed, because you were gracious enough to call. Also, I want to assure you, we Catholics do not have a quota that we have to reach, or else we go to hell. That is not Catholic teaching. And so if you'd like, I'll also send you a copy of Why We're Catholic. It's just an introduction to the Catholic faith. No ulterior motive. I just thought you might like to have it so you'll know what you're dealing with in the Catholic Church. If you'd like those books, The Faith Unboxed and Why We're Catholic, all you have to do is give us an address. We will send it off to you. And then we will also give that address to the Vatican spies. No, I'm just kidding. We don't give there's no Vatican spies. Only joking, Jeff. Andrew Petiprin, you radical Christian, loving God and his church. Thank you very much. I always love talking with you.
Thanks, Si.
The Faith Unboxed is the name of the book. Freeing the Catholic Church from the containers people put it in. It's very timely. Get it at shop.catholic.com. That'll do it for us. We'll see you next time, God willing, right here on Catholic Answers Live.